This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast on how to win friends with e-billing. I'm Will Pett, Senior Business Analyst at Fidelity Investments, and today I'm joined by Don Knight, the Director of Legal and Tax Operations at Crown Castle. Don, my first question for you today, what's your elevator pitch to a general counsel for adopting an e-billing system?
Hey, good morning, Will. When you think about running a legal department, you only have a few different levers to pull when it comes to trying to manage the department and reduce expense, which is generally one of the first mandates you get coming in as someone in the legal operations profession. So obviously you have the salaries of the people working internally. And then generally outside counsel is either your biggest or second biggest expense. And then you have things like T&E and training. But you know, where you'd like to, you know, sort of make a lot of your strides if you can is with outside counsel. And, you know, unless you have an e-billing system, it's going to be very tough to get your arms around, you know, who you're engaging at what rates for what types of matters. And if you can't do that, you're at a huge disadvantage. And you're really kind of not really doing your job as a legal operations professional if you can't answer those questions. And, you know, I consider an e-billing system table stakes to be able to get those insights. So I think it's really something that if you're going to take this seriously and set up a program, it's one of the first things you should do.
Don, jumping off of that, would you say that at your current role, your outside counsel billing system has allowed you to track that spend over time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a process. You'll spend 6 months to a year when you get this thing up and running, really trying to gather that data. So it's not the type of thing, just kind of a bummer to some people that you plug in and instantly you're great at managing outside counsel. You know, you're spending that 6 months to a year period gathering information about hours, rates, work performed. And on that note, getting the categorization of that data correct is really important. So I'd encourage you when you're going through an implementation process for one of these systems, really think about how you want to slice and dice that data on the back end so that, you know, when it comes time, you're able to pull it in that format. So it's sort of the garbage in, garbage out scenario where if you don't spend the requisite time during the setup process getting that right, you're not likely to gather anything that's all that useful. But yeah, for us, I mean, at this point now at Crown, we implemented late 2018. So we are getting to the point now where it's really helped us in a number of scenarios.
And to that point, Don, have there been any areas of unexpected ROI in the almost 2 years now since you implemented an e-billing system?
Yeah, you know, at Crown, we're still sort of building that momentum, but I've seen a lot of creative uses in the past for an e-billing system, and especially the matter management component. These days, I mean, it used to be that a matter management system and an e-billing system were kind of two separate things, but these days, most of the packages are sort of combined. So especially, you know, combining those two pieces, I've seen creative work, especially, you know, an example I can think of is diversity and inclusion. You're able to gather data around the timekeepers doing work on your matters and then report out on the diversity from an hours, dollars, resource perspective on those matters, and then encourage your firms to give you more diverse staffing. Risk management is another area. You're gathering a lot of data, especially in the litigation space, about operational losses. And if you're able to identify where those losses are coming from and what types of things they are, you sort of feed that information back into the front end of your process and hopefully shore up those weaknesses that are causing the litigation issues in the first place. So beyond just sort of the dollars and cents, you know, managing outside counsel, there are a lot of creative ways to use it to better your organization.
And digging into that a little bit, Don, obviously tracking diversity, equity, and inclusion are huge topics for a lot of corporate legal departments these days. Whether it's your own experience or just other folks that you've worked with in the corporate space, what are some creative ways you've seen e-billing matter management systems utilized to capture that data?
Yeah, I mean, the really nice thing about using it is that it's easy for the firms, but it gives you very detailed information. What you're likely to find in a corporation is that, you know, your supplier management team is gathering information about ownership of vendors and firms. But that's really just scratching the surface. And what I think we're interested in, what a lot of people are interested in, is the diversity of the teams actually working on their matters. So if you think about how an e-billing system is set up, you're capturing a lot of data about those timekeepers working on your matters, you know, like their rate, the year they graduated law school, their role, et cetera. If you gather a few more data points, gender, LGBTQ information, veteran status, disability, et cetera, race information, you can also then report on that as it pertains to all of the line item data you're getting around the hours, dollars, rates, and chart that over time too. So you can look at, you know, as you're having conversations with the firms around diversity, is the actual result improving? Are you getting improved staffing, you know, on your matters? And if you believe diverse teams outperform non-diverse teams, that's really the type of thing you need to be looking at. One other creative thing you can do is actually look at, is the firm actually promoting a culture where they're promoting those individuals? So you can look at over time as people's roles change in your system, are diverse associates becoming diverse partners, right? Are they building that leadership pipeline, or are they just sort of, you know, bringing in a new class of associates to make their numbers, you know, look good, but not really making a wholesale philosophical improvement in the way that they run their business.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Don. As you said, you know, if it's really just low-level associates that they're bringing in who have diverse qualifications, then obviously at that point you can determine the firm is probably not as committed to diversity and inclusion as they might say.
Yeah. And it's really important too, I think, to pair the data with the conversation. So that data arms you to actually go to your firms and maybe you're talking to them about other things too, like relationship issues or financials, whatever, right? Hopefully if you have a key panel of firms, you're meeting with them on some periodic basis. But being able to bring that data to the table and say, hey, here's where we are today. I found that to drive a much more meaningful conversation than just the general, hey, we're interested in diversity, equity, inclusion. Hey, we are too. Look at our glossy materials. Great. This is actually something you can measure and actually see some improvement happen over time, which is, I think it's important, you know, that we're doing things that actually affect change rather than just talk about it.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Don. I mean, when you have quantifiable evidence instead of just anecdotes from your attorneys about the working relationships, that's going to make a huge difference. So shifting gears a little bit here, I also wanted to ask you about whether your e-billing system has allowed you to implement more flat fees and alternative fee arrangements. And if so, what sort of results you've seen with that?
Absolutely. And I think this is one of the key areas where it helps, because if you don't have this data, you're sort of shooting in the dark, right? The firm, likely, if they're working with you on flat fees, they have this data, right? They've got a matter experience database on their side where they've done, you know, hundreds of these types of cases, and they understand what their costs are, and they're able to formulate a flat fee based on that. You know, hopefully, if you categorize your matters the same way, that's the same exercise that you can go through. You can look at that work and say, okay, what is this worth to me? What's the value of it? And then go out to market accordingly with that number in mind. For Crown, obviously, we're a real estate company, and we have a lot of transactional work, and that's where that's been really helpful for us to be able to scope some of those flat fees and understand sort of the value they drive for the business, and be able to price them appropriately and find the right firms that can do that work at the right rate. So I think if you don't have that data, it's nearly impossible to get a good flat fee. You're just sort of guessing. You're at the mercy of the firms.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Don. And as we wrap up here, do you have any final thoughts for folks who are just starting this process of switching to an e-billing system, maybe still trying to get buy-in from senior leaders?
My advice would be take it slow and don't try to solve all your problems at once. I mean, I think if you need to take the time up front to get the buy-in from all the different practice groups in your department. Make sure they have input. Think about the categorization, as I said, and just build your program slowly over time. It'll take, you know, 2 or 3 years until you get really, really good at this. But you've got to start somewhere. And like I said at the beginning, if you don't have one of these systems, you're at a big disadvantage, you know, to all the firms you're negotiating with. You know, a few other things you could think about down the road. If you get really good at it, you might even be able to get fast pay discounts. One of the issues that we found was that when we were doing paper invoicing, the process was just inconsistent and very slow. So firms were getting paid in, you know, 60 days, 90 days, invoices would get lost, et cetera. Just from a pure operational perspective, you're sort of putting a fence around that where the firms will bill you through the system. You have visibility through the entire process and you can ensure they get paid, whether that's net 30, net 45, whatever your organization is doing. And just by doing that, the firms are going to be a lot happier and willing to work with you. So you might be able to sort of work that angle. You may even be able to get your firms to provide you some case updates or other things, other data that you're not getting today through the system. So I just think there's so many advantages to putting in one of these systems today. And frankly, the cost really has come down as well. A lot of these are cloud-based now, so there's not a huge infrastructure investment. And in some models, you could even share some of the costs with law firms. So your initial investment and ongoing costs compared to the return you're going to get on the system, I think it's a really attractive proposition.
I think those are all great points, Don. And I just want to thank you for joining me today. And I want to thank our listeners for joining as well. And if anyone has any questions for Don or myself, please feel free to reach out.
Thanks, Will. Happy to be here. And as you said, I love this topic. So happy to answer any questions offline that anyone may have. Take care.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.